I met Usho in a funny way, because I was in the ashram since 2 years when I was given a canvas, empty canvas by a friend, and I didn't know what to do with it. At the same time, I had read a poem by Chuang Tzu, which I like very much. Actually, I didn't say now, but I can say this poem. It says, "Once, Chuang Tzu, I dreamt that I was a butterfly. And now, I don't know anymore if I am Chuang Tzu who dreamt of being a butterfly, or if I am a butterfly dreaming that I am Chuang Tzu." So I found that poem very good in the sense that it really encapsulate our the feeling we have most of the time when we don't know in which world we are. So I went to see Usho. I did not know him, and I asked him if he could write this poem on my empty canvas. He did it reluctantly because he told me we are not used to calligraph on a solid piece, no? But he did it, and he was not happy with it because the writing came cross. But I was very happy with that piece, and I put it in my house. And a few weeks later, he came with the same calligraphy on paper, which was perfect, and he insisted that I take out the first one to put that one. So that shows his aspiration for perfection. And then after that, we became very good friends. We used to meet every Sunday afternoon, and we used to walk very long distance, and I was surprised by his energy, no? Because at that time he was around 69, and I was the first one to get tired, although I was very young, no? So I could not understand his secret. And as we were walking the whole afternoon, I had plenty of time to ask him questions about Chinese, and Chinese culture, and he will tell me a lot about paintings, about their culture, about the customs, and everything. So it was very beautiful. And as I said before, the worst part came when we came back home to his house. And then he insisted that I share with him, I smoke with him very strong cigars, actually. Mm-hmm. The same cigars at the rickshaw while I was smoking just next door, you see. So that, for me, was very difficult. And also he made a tea, which was very strong. And actually, it's not the same tea that Eric is going to do. It was the cheapest Indian dust tea that he had recycled to make a little like Chinese tea, but it was so strong that I could not sleep the whole night.
How was Usho in person?
Oh, he was, as I said before, he was very iconoclastic. He was against every rule or anything. That's why I was surprised by the atmosphere of this meeting, which is very, very solemn, very serious, almost religious, no? I'm sure he will laugh if we will see that meeting that is the subject of that meeting. He was very, for example, when I met him when there was the Bangladesh war, no? And there were all these refugees from Bangladesh, and it was a very heavy burden on Bengal. I said, my God, but in China, when you had refugees like that, who will take advantage of this manpower to make big projects like dam or anything. So that was his attitude towards.
What do you remember Usho most by? Your favorite memory of him?
I think a big laughter.
Big laughter.
He was always laughing, always joking, not taking life seriously, and yet I could feel he had a lot of wisdom, no? He knew a lot. But he was beyond, he was definitely not moralistic or ascetic or anything. He was very, very wise.
How long did you know Usho for?
Maybe 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Or even more than that, because maybe 6 years. What? But I considered him like really like a friend, as if there was no, although he was much older than me, I never felt that difference. He was like a friend. And at that time I didn't speak English so well, he didn't speak English so well also. So most of the time our conversation was quite crisscrossing.
How many languages did he know?
Did he know?
Did he speak?
I think he knew perfectly German, because he had gone to Germany to study the Gothic architecture, and he told me about that. He knew very little French, but he knew English.
Is there anything that he liked basically about Pondicherry?
He never spoke of that. You could feel he was an exile somehow. I don't know his feeling about it. I remember one thing funny about, at that time also I was learning Sanskrit, so I was impressed by the fact that he he translated the Upanishads and everything. But he joked, it's always the same thing. All is one, all are one. They're repeating the same formula. So even he was very iconoclastic about the so-called classical Indian writing. You know?
One word you would say to summarize Husu?
Pardon?
One word you would say to summarize him?
Thank you, Husu.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Thank you.
27 years that he lived in Pondicherry, Husu translated, among other works, Sri Aurobindo's Life Divine, Synthesis of Yoga, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, the Human Cycle, the Ideal of Human Unity, the Mothers on Education, the Letters on Yoga, all of these into Chinese. And while they did not have much circulation during the 60s and the 70s in China, now there is a renewed interest in his writings, and his collected works, which are kept in the corner over there, have been released in 2006. And Professor Sunbo informs us that there are now universities which are starting to study Sri Aurobindo's philosophy through his translations. And there's a growing interest in Aurobindo and the ashram in all that this work represents. Husu left Pondicherry in 1978 to return to China, where he eventually became associated with the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences in Beijing. Over there, he shared his vast erudite and knowledge with a small group of people who have carried on his work in Beijing. Professor Sun Bo from the Institute sends us a message for the exhibition, which I will read out to you. I am very glad to hear that an exhibition is going to be held in Auroville of Xu Fancheng's paintings. On behalf of the Institute of World Religions, Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, Beijing, and all the people who respect and love Sri Aurobindo and the Mother, I send my best wishes. Husu is one of the great Chinese humanistic scholars of the 21st century and is regarded as the second Xuanzang. His main contribution is that he translated and introduced the ancient and the new Indian Vedantic philosophy into China, the Upanishads, as well as Sri Aurobindo's writings. This has built not only a solid foundation for Indian studies in China, but has rebuilt the spiritual bridge of Chinese and Indian cultural communication. He was highly skilled, a profound artist, and an accomplished scholar. He was considered as one of the first Chinese painters to use the new print form of art. His calligraphy is a synthesis of different sects and is based on the stone inscriptions of the Wei dynasty to the regular script of the Tang dynasty. The nature of Xu's paintings tends towards simplicity, quietness, and elegance, while majesty and massiveness characterize his writing and drawing style. I believe that the visitors to the exhibition will be able to perceive in Xu Fancheng's works the spirit of classical Chinese paintings, which is a special flower of this other ancient Eastern culture. I wish all success to the exhibition and to the long friendship of our two countries. Husu came to Pondicherry in 1951, and we have here a poem written by him in Chinese.
So the title is Sheng Xi Ci Yi Hua Gong Zhi Sheng Kai.
The mother bestowed a flower for it to blossom.
Zhi Nan Tian Zhu Wu Ke Shi, Wo You Yi Hua Gong Sheng Ren.
Other than offering a flower to the mother, nothing else matters living in South India.
Hua kai hua hao hua neng sheng, sheng zi wu yan hua zi chun.
Flower blossom, flower beautiful, flower can be the divine, divine itself silent, and flower itself spring.
Tan zhi liu guang wu wai xin, qian qiu sheng xue wei wei chen.
Time flies. Experience beyond the material is new. Timeless divine knowledge is ever fresh. This flower, this leaf, the essence of the present moment, this is the way to realization.
Mm-hmm.